Hello, and welcome to ASD Radio, the official podcast of the Alamosa School District. I'm your host, Superintendent Dr. Diana Jones, and I'm thrilled to be your guide to the people, programs, and progress shaping our schools. Today, we're joined by Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo. Welcome to the show, Dr. Murillo.
Hi, Dr. Jones. It was week two of school year 25-26. We've been doing this podcast for almost 3 years now. It started based on a need to find different ways to talk to families, parents, stakeholders, different ways to communicate. Honestly, I don't know how many people listen, but what I will say is I've run into some people who will say, hey, I listened to the podcast and I learned this or this. So it's always good to be reminded that there are actually people listening and we're just not recording for no reason.
And there's so many stories they can go back and listen to. Lots of things they can learn.
Well, I'm excited about our guest today. She is new to us, not new to education, and she's got a very exciting and interesting story, so I can't wait to get there.
Well, I'm excited too. So let's just move on to our first section, happenings at our campuses. What can you share with us about what is happening?
Well, I did the same thing last week, and instead of me sharing, I asked some questions.
Okay.
I know that the Board of Education has been considering a bond, and there is an upcoming board meeting where the board will take a vote.
That's correct. At the August 19th board meeting, the board will vote on a resolution that contains bond language to ask the voters for a $30 million bond to help us with facilities upgrades, new turf. Our turf is a safety issue, and especially over time, if you think about a bond lasting for 15 to 20 years, we'll need to replace the turf at the elementaries, the middle school, as well as the football field. Help with the track, and there's facility needs in the auditoriums, and lots of our clubs need extra support as well. We have the restrooms at the middle school that are part of the bond language. If anyone's ever been to Ortega Middle School, we still have the urinal trough from 1964. I don't know if you could get money for that at a thrift store or not, but it is there, and we would like to replace that and upgrade that and provide some privacy for our students as well. And there is also an addition and some upgrades at the high school. Nurse's office is not in compliance, so we have that as well as some ADA issues, and we'd like to really spend some time providing services, health services, mental health services, and additional restrooms at the high school.
Well, and just to be clear, today is August 19th.
Yes.
We are recording at 4:21 based on my phone, so just in a few hours, we're going to be having this board meeting, and where the board will be taking a vote based on a resolution.
Correct.
Now, what I've heard from you, Dr. Jones, is a lot of what I would consider safety needs, the safety of students based on a football field that, I was a football player, I was a coach, I know all about concussions and injuries, and I know that having the right facilities when it comes to the field of play, but also you talked about our nurses, you talked about, the safety of restrooms nowadays. That, to me, it sounds to be the theme around this bond.
Absolutely. It really is about providing a safe and learning and working environment for our students and staff. Over time, Ortega Middle School was built in 1964. The high school is almost 30 years old. So as we think about those things, maintenance happens. Maintenance needs, we need, just like at our own home, we need new roofs every now and then, or our refrigerator goes out. So those things happen over time. And as we want to be prepared, and we want to ensure that we are being good stewards of the money and making sure that we tackle those things as they come about and be able to do that and provide that safe learning environment for our students, helping them to feel comfortable using even the simplest thing as a restroom.
All right, well, I am sure that there will be a lot more information after tonight's board meeting.
Yes, I hope so. And if anyone has any questions, please reach out and ask. Let's move on to our favorite section, celebrate.
All right, we're here.
Yay!
I have the pleasure of introducing someone that's new to our Moose family. Definitely not new to education. I learned that she's been an educator for 16 years. She served in the state of Ohio, Colorado, and Lake County School District, and most recently in Cincinnati Public Schools. She has served as a teacher, as a lead teacher, as a curriculum coach, and most recently as an assistant principal. It is my honor to introduce Ortega Middle School Assistant Principal, Dr. Shelley Roddy.
Hi, welcome. Everyone.
Welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you mentioned, I've been in education for 16 years. I started off as a teacher, and I never thought I'd ever leave the classroom. Any opportunity for leadership that came, I would say, okay, let's talk about this, and then back out, because I loved working with the children and the family so much. I just felt like it was very meaningful work. But as I grew in my roles and just kind of my curiosity peaked, I just knew that, and my principals would always say, you know, you're an agent of change. And, you know, we really think that you have a call for this. And I would always say, I'm not the most commanding person. I don't want to be the loudest person in a room. I don't enjoy necessarily being the center of attention. And they said, not every leader has to be in front of everybody, or not everyone has to be commanding. Roddy, you have this gift with parents. And I began to believe that. And so I did try those hats on and became a lead teacher and began to manage teachers. And I found that to be quite enjoyable, working with them and supporting them. And then being a curriculum counsel, a curriculum coach, I love curriculum. And I absolutely love looking at standards and figuring out, based on the demographics in the classroom and the needs of the students, like, what can we teach to capture their interest? What book can we replace the, you know, district material that we have to engage our kids? And how can I help our teachers just super duper excel and connect? And I found that to be very enjoyable too. So then I was a little bit less afraid of being in a bigger leadership role. And that's how I became an assistant principal.
Well, your story is a perfect example of what we say, lead from the seat you're in. And thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
All right, Shelley, it's week two in a new district, new school, new staff, new home, new running trails, new neighbors, new everything. Mm-hmm. How's it going?
I know you're not going to believe this when I say it, but it's wonderful. I feel like I'm the most annoying person on earth every single time I answer that question, because then I get the follow-up, but how's it really going? And it's really wonderful. I feel like, you know, I was very intentional when I went through the application process. Everyone in my district knew that there would come a day when I was going to go back to Colorado. And after my experience in Leadville working in the small community, I really wanted that again. I am who I am in the school building, outside of the school building, out to dinner, at a party. The same exact person you meet here is who you're going to meet if you come to the school. And I really like that, that aspect of a small town rural community. I also, you know, am drawn to the landscape and the beautiful outdoors, of course. I'd be completely lying if I didn't say that. But being here and being in the school, I just feel so lucky. I feel like Mr. Gonzalez is an amazing leader who truly does care about kids. He has a pep in his step, and he's full of energy and positivity, and is also extremely sharp. And I think that that is something that I respect. Mr. Martinez has welcomed me with open arms as well. And those are the two other individuals who are part of my leadership team. Mm-hmm. And then the teachers are amazing. And I feel like they really do care about our student body, and they go above and beyond to do the things that we ask them to do to support our very dynamic and unique students. And of course, the students, they're the bread and butter. They're where it's at. And they've been really funny to get to know. You know, there's been some challenges mm-hmm. because I'm new, fresh meat. mm-hmm. And I've had to establish myself a few times. But I'm breaking down those barriers. And overall, it's just been really wonderful. Yeah, I'm really, really happy to be here. And I feel super lucky. I really do.
Well, we are thrilled to have you as well, and the positive energy that you bring every time we see you. As you think about the roles that you shared with us earlier, how have those different roles prepared you for this unique challenge of leading at Ortega Middle School as the assistant principal?
I think that, starting off as a teacher and doing it for so long, I really have a lot of empathy for all of the things we ask teachers to do. You know, there's a lot of changes in education, and it can be really frustrating to be in a teacher seat and to have spent, you know, years developing out, like, you know, this, lesson plans, and this is how I'm going to teach this, and then to say, whoop, it's out, we're doing something new. And that can be really hard. And so I think, that helps me to understand their perspective at times. I think, you know, dealing with curriculum is the same thing. I think it's understanding how to be creative with that science piece. You know, there's the science part of it, but there's the finesse, the art, the beauty, like what you get to do as an individual to bring that, whatever it is, math, science, social studies, alive in a classroom. And I think, being a teacher and a lead teacher, you know, just having those conversations can be intimidating, you know, with teachers at first. And breaking down those barriers and making sure that they know that you have high expectations for them, but that you care so much for them. And that if they don't succeed, it's really your fault at the end of the day. I think every single role has led me and prepared me to be here. Of course, there's a lot of learning that I need to do with the culture, you know, of the school building itself and things like that. But I think each role has really, truly prepared me for this. The note-taking, you know, the everything. Parent phone calls. If there's an argument or a disagreement or a hurt feeling, you have to call the parents. You know, communication is key. And just remembering that we're not a fortress. We're an open door, and all of the families are welcome. All of the questions, we want to answer them. There's not a question stupid. There's not a person who's annoying. We kind of want it all. You know?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shelley, you talked about your desire to wanting to come back to Colorado, wanting to lead and live in a small community. I had the pleasure of leading the process that got you hired, and you seem to be very well educated on our core beliefs, our strategic plan. You had watched some of our videos. What else can you tell us about what attracted you to our district besides the beautiful playground that the San Luis Valley is?
Something that actually there's one word, and I say it a million times in looking, when I was applying, I looked at your vision, your mission, and your core. I looked at the strategic plan. I looked at what you had, you know, all of the things I could find about what was posted. I watched board meetings ad infinitum. And I think, first of all, I really enjoyed the thorough interview process. I appreciated that you called my references and my references told me, even references I didn't know. And I really do appreciate that you did that. That spoke volumes to me. Like, I know I'm in good hands, and I know that you're picking somebody, you know, who you think is valuable. There was one word, and that word is resilience. And I've never seen that in a statement before. And that really spoke to me, because it's a question of resilience that I ask myself often about students and the things that they overcome outside of school. And then they come to school and we're like, focus, do your homework, sit up, you know, do this, do that, take the test, pass the test. And those things are important, but that resilience piece is what really stood out to me. It meant a lot to me. Just not oversharing too much about my background, but my background required a lot of resilience. And so I do understand how important that word is. I also really, really appreciated your focus on students. It seemed to me that you were genuine and sincere about that. And from what I've experienced after being in the seat, I do believe that that's true. I mean, the conversations that are had with students, the care that's taken with, you know, investigations, you know, little this and that's and the other thing, I think is really, really important. And sometimes in busy schools like Ortega Middle School, you could just push it to the side. We'll do that another day, or maybe this we don't need to do. But the expectation is that, no, these things are important and they are getting done. And I really like that. I appreciated that you had a teacher for every grade and mm-hmm. subject in there. I appreciated that you were a part of it. I appreciated that you were there, that the principals were there. It was overwhelming and intimidating, but I wanted that, and I do appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I love that you picked up on resilience and that you could see that embedded in the things that we do. We work really hard about making sure that resilience is there, even with our proficiency scales, the learning progression, and if students can begin to verbalize where they are in that learning progression, they internally become resilient, have grit. And so thank you for sharing that. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
As a new leader in our community, what's one thing you've observed so far that you're excited to build upon?
My gosh. I think what I'm excited to build upon is the proficiency scales. I mean, it's the HRS model that you're, you know, teaching all of the staff and the students. I think it's really interesting and admirable that you guys decided not to use some other, state's curriculum. And in one of our PDs, if I may, you did mention that. And I thought, of course. Why are we teaching some other state's, you know, curriculum when they don't even necessarily align with our state standards? And so I know that it's a lot of work. I mean, I don't know how much work it is, but I believe it is a lot of work. And I'm really excited to be a part of that process. I mean, like I said, I love designing curriculum and I love tying it to standards. So for me, this makes me very excited. Yeah.
Well, it makes me excited too. There's a sense of, I mean, besides ownership, there's a sense of power. Mm-hmm. Like we're empowering teachers to create and build their own curriculum that yeah. they will then know inside out. And it's not going to be perfect, but it will eventually over time become better and better, and it'll be driven by data. Hi, Shelley. I'm a middle school person. I was a middle school teacher and middle school counselor, actually at Ortega middle school principal at another district. I love middle school. Some people say that we might be a little crazy mm-hmm. for choosing to work in a middle school, but yeah. what makes your students at Ortega Middle School so special?
Oh my gosh. they're amazing. They're kind, they're respectful, they're very, very smart, they're clever and mischievous. They're perfect middle schoolers. They're gregarious, they're curious. You know, they can be standoffish sometimes when they think they're cool, but secretly they actually just want to be accepted and they want you to show an interest in them. And I think once they see that you're not, you know, this evil person who's coming to get them and that you actually find them humorous and respect who they are and where they are developmentally, I mean, middle schoolers are my favorite. They're just the best. They're just funny. And they're going through a lot, you know, all of the hormonal changes. They have no idea what is going on. And all of a sudden, boys and girls are interesting. And, you know, you get to have all of these, I feel like they're meaningful conversations with kids, kind of guiding them and empowering them to stick to their laurels. You know, have your friends, but be cautious and, you know, things like that. And it's also really fun because they're on the cusp of high school and maybe college or maybe a trade, to kind of plant those seeds and to just to kind of chase those curiosities. You know, if they're interested in building or if someone's a tinkerer, you're like, wow, you could do this or, you know, something like that. I just think middle school is great.
I just felt like it was such a critical age, and I was just excited and humbled and honored to be part of the journey in such a critical age,
yeah,
where I could be someone's listening ear, someone's role model, someone's,
yes,
you know, just helping shaping the next step. I mean, all ages and development are important, but I felt like those age 12, 13, 14, 15 years old were critical.
They're so hard on themselves, and they're so sensitive. And when they're in trouble a lot, you know, they see themselves as a bad kid, and it's really fun to spend your time convincing them that, you know, you're not a bad person. You've just made a bad choice. It's not serving you. So how can we get you to the point where you're able to make choices that are actually going to serve you? It's really, really nice. I enjoy it. And they do listen. Yeah.
And once you develop those relationships with them, they are so loyal to you.
They will do anything. Yes. I mean, even the worst, quote unquote, worst of the worst, they'll listen to you. They'll do anything for you.
Well, Shelley, as you talked earlier, you shared with everyone that you really did your homework before you applied to the Alamosa School District. And thank you for acknowledging that we did ours as well. Yeah. we were very protective of our team. And we feel like our team is empowered to do the great work that's ahead of us. So I'm curious to know, you did your homework.
Mm-hmm.
We followed through with what you thought, but what has surprised you the most since joining the Alamosa School District?
There are so many things. I think, honestly, I'll start with the building, like directly, and I'll say the genuine kindness for an outsider. You just never know. You know, I took a chance. I went with my gut. I went based on the information that I could. And then I also went with what I felt in my heart, and it's what I absolutely believed, even when there were moments when I was like, am I making a mistake? I said, no, I'm not. And I think when you make a decision like that and then you land in the role that you want and you come into it and the person in front of you, I'll say Mr. Gonzalez, is who you thought that person would be, that's surprising, which is sad to say maybe, but also a very big positive. Mr. Martinez is who I thought he would be. And I feel very lucky. Even, you know, the administrative assistants, the secretaries, just the entire culture of the building. I've worked in a lot of different buildings, and I feel that it is very special. So that's something that I was surprised about. I half expected it, but wasn't really sure.
Sure.
And then I'll speak to the both of you, and I don't mean this to be brown-nosery, but I do mean it. I've had a lot of superintendents as well. And I feel that you're both very approachable. I mean, I feel like just you came to our school the other day, and just it was a small gesture, but it meant a lot. Just passing a card and saying, you know, thank you for being here. You did not have to do that. And I know that that took time and thought, and that meant a lot. It's things like that. You're constant, like you're always researching and figuring out how can we get what we deserve. Mm-hmm. These other districts who are bigger than us, have more money than us, they have all this access to AI and technology and all these amazing things. And we do everything we can and amazing things with the resources that we have, it seems. We make do and then some. But I think your commitment to that, and that, like, you know, going to your conferences and learning about what is out there and bringing that back to our district to make us stronger and better and to give our students what they deserve is a lot. It means a lot to me. I just think how kind you are and how you're obviously quite accomplished, both of you, but you're very, you're really approachable. I have seen you walking out. I've said hi, and you're the same person too. And the same for you. I bother you sometimes on your morning walk, and I'm like, hi. And, you know, in another district, I would probably not be sure. You know, I'd just kind of be like, okay, they're the professional professional, like the president of the United States or something. And hello, and move on. But I know that I could give you a hug and absolutely, you wouldn't be like, ugh, you know, and the same. And I think that those things make you special and that helps make our district special too. So I think I'm not surprised, but I am surprised. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Sure. Well, we work really hard and I shouldn't say we work really hard. We are intentional about creating the conditions for everyone to be successful, and that includes our leaders. And we have to take care of each other. And so I'm glad that you already feel that so early into your journey.
So, Shelley, since we're getting to know you, we've talked about you choosing to lead in middle school and how some people might think that there's something off about that, wanting to be there.
Yeah.
You are also an ultra runner.
Yes.
You enjoy running 100 miles.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Some people might think there's something off about you. My question, though, is what is the connection between ultra running mm-hmm. and leadership?
Oh, I love that question. Actually, I would say that, and I think about this a lot, especially last year as my first year in leadership. It was, it was the first year. It's always like really, really hard. And I would just say, okay, it's like the last 20 miles in an ultra where your mind is tricking your body into quitting because you're tired. You've been going for a really long time. I think there's a lot of training that's involved. You know, you can't just get up, most people, maybe someone could, I'm sure, but I could never just get up and decide, oh, I'm going to run the 100 miler today. There's a lot of commitment and failing. You know, trying and failing. I've tried the Leadville 100 before and I DNF'd it. So that was a failure. But I don't see it as a failure. I just saw it as, okay, what mistakes did I make? And then how can I make it better and finish the next time? So I think that there's a lot of, there are a lot of things that are in common. And I actually draw on my ultra marathoning to help me in stressful, quote unquote, stressful times or times of challenge, you know, especially when you're tired. If you really wanted to have a drink of water, but you're like, oh, this person really needs support. And so that is secondary and you just have to do it. And you want to do it. It's very similar. You have to train, you have to learn, you have to understand the systems, you know, just like in running, you have to get up and be dedicated. And then when you want to quit, you have to talk to yourself and trick yourself or tell yourself you're not going to and remember your why. Why do I want to keep doing this? What about this drew me to it in the first place? And how will I feel if I quit? Because I always say there's a difference between quitting and stopping. And you stop when you're sick or when you have a broken bone or when you need to stop. But when you quit. And that's something that I don't consider myself as a quitter. And so that's the harshest, you know, that's what I always go to. Like, and so I think that those are the things that have in common. I use that a lot.
Would you say that there's also a connection to teamwork? Although as a leader as a runner, you're dedicated, you're a trainer. And I mean, when you're running, there's aid stations, there are pacers, there are people that, I mean, you need to survive.
You have to, and you couldn't do it without the people in your support network. Yeah, mm-hmm. The team, exactly. You have a crew, and that would be, you know, your teachers, and then you have aid station workers, and it's everyone from the custodial staff to the women and men who prepare the lunches for the kids, mm-hmm. For the students in the kitchen. It's for every single teacher, all of the elective teachers, the volunteers that come to the school building, you know, everybody who's above and everyone who's in between. It's the same with running. And then just the people who are rooting for you, who might not even be involved in running or in education, just rooting for you because you're you. And they're just kind and they want to.
If you think about that and the resilience, as we talked about earlier, and you being able to carry that forward with your team and your students, talk to us a little bit about what excites you about education.
I think something that excites me, and it has excited me for a long time, is the freedom that you get with education. And I know that's a basic, non-like exciting answer, but I think it's just education equals freedom, and that's freedom to, you know, to analyze a document, or freedom to have an argument, or freedom to stand up for yourself. Freedom to travel if you don't have the money to travel, you know, through a book. Freedom to get a job. Freedom to start a career. Freedom to, you know, just it's freedom. And I think that's what excites me about education, is that even though education isn't as equitable as I hope or wished it would be, and I think many people, you know, wish that it would be more equitable, I still am grateful that we do have free public education, and that excites me.
So you talked about what excites you about education. What is something that keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night are the stories that you hear about the families, people who are suffering and who still bring their kids to school. Students who are suffering, or just going through hard times. The lack of, again, I'll go back to that equity piece. You know, sometimes it's very frustrating. Even, you know, I'll use my former district as an example because it was a really big district. So there were, many, many schools in the one district, and there were very wealthy schools. And there were poverty schools. So schools who were not Title I schools and schools who were 100% free and reduced lunch in the same district. And for me, it's not the district's fault. It's just the system and that mm-hmm. equity piece. And it was really hard for me to see students, you know, who had nothing or who had to sleep in a shelter, or, you know, it's those things that keep me up at night, because can care about them and that the students, and you can try to make connections with the parents, but you can't shelter them from what they're going to experience and what they, it gets me a little bit emotional, and what they, you know, what they have to overcome every single day just to get to school. And those are the things that really hardcore keep me up at night. Yeah.
Those are the things that drive us to show up for our students every single day.
Yeah.
So let's kind of change the mindset. If mm-hmm. you had a magic wand and could change something about the educational system, what would that be?
Yeah. I guess I would find a way to fund public education that wasn't related to taxes. Right. So that, which I know isn't, you know, but I just wish that everyone had access to everything. You know, that it was truly equitable. If I had a magic wand, you know, I couldn't solve all of the problems, and families would still struggle, and still, you know, children would probably still struggle. But maybe I could cast a protective bubble over them so that not only did they have access to the technology just to help them, the technology, the books, the materials, all of the things, the sports, the clubs, you know, things that keep them connected to a community and a school and give them hope as well. But that I could also protect them from whatever, you know, pains whatever pains that they bring with them that they hide very well because they're resilient and they're kids. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Roddy, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing yourself and your experiences with us. It's been a great few moments together. As always, it's a great day to be a Mean Moose.
Thank you.
Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our school website. Parents, remember that educating your child is key to their future and a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.